Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the CJ Evolution Podcast. This is episode 260. I am Pat Fitzgibbons. I am the host. I am the creator of this great and growing show, growing because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you for tuning in. I know you got many options out there, but I really do appreciate you spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. Special thanks to all those brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field. Thank you for what you do. You do a tremendous job every day. I know you got many supporters out there, even though it doesn't seem like it sometimes. Keep up the fantastic work. I am so excited. Like I've said many times before, if you love coffee, folks, you're going to love Four Sigmatic. They're a great company. They have amazing products. I love the mushroom coffee, but I have also tried some of their Elixirs and Cocos, and it's amazing, and I'm telling you, it's good for you. It's not like traditional coffee. You're going to love it, and it tastes amazing. Head over to cjevolution.com. You're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic, and you're going to get 15% off all of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. You know, folks, all of us hit those roadblocks in life, both personally and professionally, and that's when we need help, whether it's family, friends, or professional coaches. My good friend Kim Ades and her amazing team at Frame of Mind Coaching can help you. If you head over to the CJEvolution.com website, you're going to see a link to frameofmindcoaching.com, and you're going to be offered a free initial assessment of what you need as far as coaching to help you get to that next level in your life. You know, I am so blessed to have many different people from many different backgrounds, experiences on the show, and that's what makes the show unique. My next guest, you're going to find very interesting. He's a very funny guy. He's an inspirational speaker, and he's also an author. And the interesting thing about this next guest is he has autism. He was diagnosed at a very young age, and he has high-functioning autism. And not only do we talk about autism and some of the challenges he had growing up, but he also has some practical and useful advice for law enforcement. Enjoy this episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am really excited to have my next guest on the show. His name is Dylan Volk, and he is a nationally acclaimed inspirational speaker. He has his own channel on YouTube, and he is an author. Dylan, welcome, buddy.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hey, I don't know if I gave you due justice with that bio. Is there anything else you want to fill in?
No, that sounded good.
Now, for people who don't know you, Dylan, you were diagnosed at the age of 8 with high-functioning autism, correct?
Yes.
Now, I'm sure most people out there, most listeners have heard of autism, but for those listeners who don't know what autism is, what is it?
Well, it's basically gives you challenges reading social cues is the primary thing. And then it also gives people who are autistic have what they call special interests, mm-hmm. which I'm sure anybody who's experienced somebody with autism has seen, where they'll become obsessed with a certain topic and become kind of a walking encyclopedia of a very specific topic. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing. Oftentimes it's a useless thing that doesn't actually help you at all in life. And so those are the two main pillars of autism, social skills and special interests.
Now, you're high functioning. Now, what are people who are low functioning? What do they exhibit? Because you seem like a very smart guy. I mean, you are a smart guy. I mean, you're very communicative. I mean, you speak very well. So low functioning would be the opposite, correct?
Exactly. Lower functioning would be someone you can visibly tell has autism. So it's pretty much about presentation skills, mm-hmm. I would say.
Now, what challenges have you faced? I've seen a couple of your YouTube videos. Amazing, by the way. We'll have them linked up, how people can find you in the show notes. But I'm sure there were a ton of challenges, Dylan, that you dealt with growing up. Part of it was probably fitting in, correct, with other kids?
Yeah. I never – when I was a kid, particularly up through until I was about 16 or 17 was when I finally started kind of becoming someone that I kind of knew who I was and was able to make friends. And up until that point, though, I had a very hard time fitting in because the way that kids interact, I use the analogy in the book as it's like a basketball game versus the way adults interact is more like a baseball game. So it's like, it's like orderly. An adult conversation is orderly and kind of, it's kind of like a routine and it's structured, and a kid's conversation is more like a basketball game where it's just random. You don't know where the ball is going to go and it might be hard to jump in. It's a lot harder to jump in than because it's not, you know, structured. And so, you know, I came out of the womb, you know, people with autism are often said to be like little adults. And so I came out of the womb not being able to follow a basketball game or that style of conversation. And so I was basically like in many ways an adult, although I was very immature. But in terms of like how I like to interact with people socially, I was kind of an adult trapped in a 10-year-old, 12-year-old's body.
Now you had supporting parents, correct, Dylan?
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it, right? I mean, I'm sure you know people that don't come from, you know, very good families, and that's a big part of it. And in fact, you helped your dad write a book called Chasing the Rabbit, A Dad's Life Raising a Son on the Autism Spectrum. Can you talk about that?
My dad wrote a book. It's the only book on the market written by a dad about raising a child with autism. And so that's his side of the story and his experiences from the father's perspective. And he was a very involved father. Mm-hmm. So, and I did the Dylan's Takes in that. my government name is Dylan, by the way. Yeah. So that's where Dylon comes from. Yeah, yeah. So I did Dylan's Takes throughout that book, where after a chapter, I would write kind of my editorial of the chapter, my version, my recollection. And so people said they wanted more of that. So this book now is like a whole book of Dylan's takes.
That's awesome. Now, what other challenges? I mean, obviously the, you know, some social challenges that you had growing up, any other challenges that you had growing up?
Well, yeah. For instance, when I was very bold and I always had no problem being assertive, and no, and I always had a strong desire to make – a lot of people with autism are content not making friends and not being part of social interactions, and I never felt that way. I always felt almost entitled to to be – have some sort of social status. I felt that I belonged with the cool kids. And so and it's very unusual that you will see someone who doesn't fit in being so assertive. And so that made for a lot of interesting scenario – interesting kind of a lot of cringy, train wrecky kind of situations. But I'll give you an example. Like when I was in church one day in the coffee hour after service, and my mom was talking to a friend, and she said, "Dylan, you can ask me anything." And I said, "Anything?" And she said, "Anything." And so I said, "All right, how big is your husband's blank?" And so, and she said, the other thing is people with autism take everything literally.
Literally,
so
yeah.
And she told me, I even had the sense at 8, which is kind of amazing. I had the sense to confirm with her that she really meant everything, but then she confirmed it. So I went ahead and took her advice. And, you know, that's not something that a neurotypical person obviously would do. And even most autistic people wouldn't do that because they would – many of them are not so bold like that.
Well, I think it's good. I think, yeah, that, I mean, you got to know your audience sometimes, and you got to. But I think it's really good that you speak truthfully, and you don't you don't hold back anything. You know what I mean? Which is cool. It's not. It's rare in my experience. You don't see a lot of that today. Now, again, you have to know your audience, and there's a time and a place. But I think that's cool that you're genuine, Dylan.
Oh yeah.
Which is good.
Well, a lot of people claim that they tell it like it is and they're unfiltered, but they're not. They're full of it. I actually am. Cool. And you see me, and that's what an unfiltered person actually looks like. Oftentimes it's too unfiltered, but yeah.
So how did you always have, it sounds like you always had that, you know, you wanted to be in with the cool kids and you know, be accepted and all that. So how did you go from that to getting up in front of people and talking to a ton of people all the time? I mean, did you always have that gift, or was it a fear that you had? Because a lot of people, Dylan, you know, they don't like getting up in front of people.
Yeah, no, I'm less comfortable when I'm not on stage than when I am on stage.
That is so you've never had any issue going on stage?
No, because I'm good at it, so I guess I just naturally.
I know you're good at it. I've seen your YouTube videos, but that is not. I mean, I'm sure you know this, but that is not the norm, dude.
No, yeah.
Now I know we talked a little bit about it before we went on the air, but you've had some experience with the criminal justice system. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I've been in and out of jail. I've actually been to jail in 3 different states, mm-hmm. which is a pretty cool claim. And so there's too many stories to tell on this segment, but I will try to pick a few. The first one is, and this story is in my book, is when I first went to jail. It was for shoplifting. I went to Macy's and I went to Dillard's, and I got away with shoplifting in both of those places. So I was starting to get really cocky, you know, and I started getting sloppy, and now I was in Sears, and I threw caution to the wind, and I got caught throwing a shirt in my backpack. And so that was my first time in jail. And after that, let's see, I went to jail for a night for underage drinking, pretty normal one. Then I thought this would be funny to send to my friend and for some reason I sent my friend a text from not my phone number, but I actually used one of these apps that gives you a random phone number.
Yeah, yeah.
And I texted him about a bomb in the building. And I don't know why I thought this would be funny. Even being autistic, I should have known better than this, but I don't know what I was thinking. I thought he would know it was a prank what it was. And so he got all freaked out. He didn't know it was me, obviously. And then the cops came and they were forced to take me to jail. So I went to jail for a false alarm and accidentally hit a girl with my car. Well, I bumped into her as she was walking in front of my car, and I let my foot off the brake. Mm-hmm. So the car started rolling forward at like 2 or 3 miles an hour. And she thought that I was doing it on purpose. And so, or maybe she just wanted to be malicious. I don't know, but she called the cops and they put me in jail for that. And so it's a combination, as you see, of things that were my fault and things that weren't my fault and kind of everything in between.
So when did those happen, Dylan? Were those recently or years ago or what?
2010, 2012, and 13.
Oh, so you got it out of your system, dude.
Well, I also went to jail. The most recent one was 2 years ago, and I went to jail for a meth arrest.
Like methamphetamine?
Yeah.
And so what happened with that, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, that is – I'll try to condense it. Okay, so I was partying a lot when I was kind of – well, I have – my maturity has always been delayed for my age, so I've always been less mature than my age, about 4 or 5 years behind. Mm-hmm. So when most people do drugs is like college age, like 19 and 20. Mm-hmm. And so I went through this phase when I was 24 and 25 and 26. And so I started partying a lot, doing drugs. It's kind of like if you look at the shoplifting incident, it was when I was 19. Mm-hmm. And you minus 5 years from that, you get the age that people usually do shoplifting, which is like 14 and 15. Mm-hmm. So kind of interesting side note. But anyway, I was partying a lot. I started doing, you know, all the party drugs, the ecstasies, the mollies, the cocaines, and they weren't really doing that much for me. I think because my mind is just so intense, it takes a lot of any drug for me to feel something. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm Jewish, so I like to get a good value for my money. And so I thought maybe I should just do the real hard stuff and then I'll feel something, right? And so I went straight for the dope, or straight for the meth rather. And I eventually got caught with an incident where I was pulled over and they found it in my car. You can read all about it in the book, but yeah.
Well, and you didn't develop an addiction or anything like that. It was just kind of like you tried it. It sounds like you're pretty strong-willed. You got that strong mind, like you said, and you didn't have any addiction to it or what?
It didn't get to that point, but it was definitely a problem. I was doing it off and on for like a year.
Mm-hmm. Now, what Let me ask you, when you're because law enforcement comes into contact, you know, Dylan, it comes into contact with people from all over, you know, all segment of society. So what was your contact life like when you came into contact in these different instances? Did the officers know that you had autism?
It's been varied. I've told them, I actually got out of, I was driving drunk and I actually got pulled over and I used the autism card to actually get out of that, which was pretty miraculous. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they always will pretend the times that I've told them, they'll always pay it lip service. Whether they actually treat me any differently varies, because some people don't really, as you said, I seem smart and I don't seem like there's much wrong with me. So people don't tend to feel like I have a disability, even if I tell them.
Hmm. So what is not just police. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's not just police. That's everybody.
Yeah. So what, and I guess you made a really good point. I mean, cause you're very high functioning, very intelligent. I mean, you speak very well. So what advice would you give to first responders out there who come into contact with somebody who's not as high functioning as you?
Well, they might not make eye contact with you, and a lot of times that can be misinterpreted as somebody's lying or being shifty, but really they just might be autistic. So that's one thing. That's probably the big one. And then another thing is they might not understand your instructions if they're not extremely specific, or they're not going to – however specific you think you're being, I tell people make it 10 times more specific.
Because
what is common sense? What is common sense to neurotypical people may not be common sense to autistic people.
Wow. Okay. So very, very detailed in the questions you're asking. Even with you.
Well, I do better with the more specific instructions you can give me.
Interesting. Okay. Any other advice for first responders when you're coming into contact with somebody with autism? I know you said eye contact, so don't take that the wrong way, because that just might be – that's part of it, right? Specific questions, any other advice?
Those are the big ones. Mm-hmm. They just might be acting like they're nervous, which is how people act when they're hiding something, but they may not be. They may be, but they may just be autistic, you know? Mm-hmm.
Shifting gears a little bit, can you talk a little bit about more about your book? I haven't gotten it yet. I told you off the air I'm going to get it. But Bad Choices Make Good Stories.com. What else is in the book? Without giving much of it away, what else is in the book that you can share with the audience?
Oh, it's got everything. All the classic story tropes are in my book. There's the drugs. There's weight loss. There's a weight loss, a dramatic weight loss story. I went through a period where I gained like 80 pounds and then I lost it off.
God.
There's a couple more jail stories in there. There's stories about me trying to fit in with different crowds, from black people to gay guys, and everywhere in between. Mm-hmm. And lots of stories about girls, my dating with high functioning autism. I don't know of anywhere else where you're going to get that kind of stories. And so that's in there. And it's also the first book with emojis. It has emojis throughout the whole book.
What inspires you, Dylan? What motivates you?
That's a very vague question. You got to give me a little more specifics.
Okay. When you, what makes you get up in the morning? What are you thinking about that gets you charged for the day ahead? I mean, what are you going? Do you say, all right, these are my goals for today?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just get errands done like anybody else. It seems like it's a constant influx of errands. It seems like no matter how many you do, there's 10 more the next day. And so it's very frustrating for me to try to manage my time. And I don't like having to, you know, make my own schedule, but that's the lot I find myself in. Mm-hmm. And so I struggle a lot with that and organization. I'm very disorganized. And also the meth kind of messed up, had permanent effects on my mind. And I'm very, even more forgetful now than I used to be. I used to be always forgetful, losing things and never being able to manage my belongings. And now it's even worse because I messed up my short-term memory. Mm-hmm. So like I can't remember where I set something down 20 minutes ago.
Oh, geez. So for Do you have like a specific morning routine when you get up? I mean, do you, I mean, a lot of people meditate, journal, do you exercise, do any of that stuff?
Yeah, I work out regularly, and then that usually gives me energy for the rest of the day, so I try to start my day with that.
What's next for Dial On? I mean, so you're an acclaimed inspirational speaker. I mean, you're out there all over the place in front of people. What's next for you?
Well, I'm trying to get some more of that to promote the book, and kind of we've just scratched the surface so far in terms of publicity and all that good stuff. So I'm making the rounds and putting effort into my social media. I do a YouTube where you can get every day, you can get thoughts, my daily thoughts on life, opinions. And if you want to type in Dial On, DIELAWN, you'll find my YouTube channel right there. And I update my Instagram. All of my social media is uniform, so it's Real Dial On. So REALDIELAWN. That's Instagram, that's YouTube, that's Snapchat, that's Facebook, that's Twitter. Take your pick.
That's awesome, Dylan. Any parting thoughts before we go? Any advice you would like to give the listeners out there about you or about life or anything?
Men need to start advocating for themselves. We have this idea that if we complain, we're like somehow less of a man, and it like hurts our masculinity to complain about things. We need to get over that, because what's really not masculine is losing very, very badly. And men have gotten their behinds kicked. I don't know if I can say the A word. So they have been kicked to the ground, and they are in a rough spot, and they need to start winning. And that means advocating for themselves.
Well, Dylan Volk, thank you so much, my friend, for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. I would love to have you back on in the future sometime, and much success to you and all your endeavors. And thanks for coming on, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.